Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, and welcome back to Geeking In. I am Jay, I am your party host, so grab your bourbon, your beer or your brew, half a sugar and oat milk, just the way you like it, and strap in for some conversations about some random stuff that's going on. I am joined, as always, by the incredible, by the invincible, by the infamous, our futurist, our Tony Stark. How you doing, T?
So I was just doing a B impression because he's not here today.
Yeah, but when you do it, I worry that something's dropped because I'm not expecting it. But you are right. We are not joined by our Mr. Fantastic, our flexible friend, the pajama prince of the pause that was promised. He isn't just pausing for a very long time. He's not actually here with us tonight. T, does that mean you have to sing to us?
No.
That was the most musical rejection I've had in days.
Days.
Days. The rejections aren't from our listeners, from Hemel Hempstead to Dublin to Oregon to wherever else they may possibly be. Thank you very much for continuing to rate, review, subscribe.
Is that you saying you've not looked at the stats this week?
Still Argentina, last one. I don't have a new one.
Okay.
And I can't riff off of whatever B's decided to go. So we will go with that. But if you do want to give us want us to give you a shout out, is in particular at Geeking In Pod is the place to do that, both on Instagram and Twitter. At Jude C55 has contacted us this week. Initially, to say loved Quantum Weep. Ugh. Quantum Weep. That's the heart rendering.
Quantum Weep. Wow.
That's the one that, you know, brings the tears.
Oh yeah.
Loved Quantum Leap. First aired in the UK from 1990 on BBC Two at 9 p.m. I know it would never happen, but would love David Tennant and Sam Beckett with Michael Sheen as Al.
Ooh, that's a great shout.
It is, isn't it?
Jude, that is amazing. That is a really, really good shout. I could see that. They love working together. Oh, that'd be amazing. This is after last week saying it'll only be good if you get Scott Bakula back. No, yeah. Actually.
I mean, he can be in there. He can be one of the other characters.
Mm. One of the leapers.
At Jude C55 continues. Been disappointed with What If. Liked episodes 2 and 6, not keen on 3, not sure regarding 4, disliked 5, I don't like zombies, 7 was just silly, 1 was okay, but put off by the characters' eyebrows having too big a part.
Wow. So, what were 2 and 6, Scott? So 2 was Panther
Star-Lord.
And Star-Lord. Yep, excellent. Yep. That was, yeah, definitely one of the best ones. 6. Ooh.
Would have been Killmonger.
All right. He's just here for the Panther episodes. Solid.
Pretty much. Can't argue with that.
Those were the best episodes as well, definitely.
7 was just silly. Do we agree? Hang on till the end of the episode and we will talk about episode 7 of What If and Party Thor and what we thought. Little tease for everyone there. And then the other thing that we had on Twitter this week was a shout out to Universal Collector, friend of the show, who celebrated a birthday this week. So happy birthday, Universal Collector.
Happy birthday, you see. It's a real shame he's not on this week because he would definitely have sung to you. We may have to get him to do that next week. You can have a belated birthday song from B.
Or just a private personal message.
Well, I think you have to pay extra for that.
We can have a round. It's Universal Collector's birthday.
Fair enough.
What did we buy him? A special OnlyFans shout out from B. It's what he would want, I'm sure.
That's definitely what anyone would want on their birthday. No, B, please send me one.
And if we offered such a service, which we don't, it would be in our Linktree link that you can find in our bio at Geeking in Pod.
That was
That takes you
excellent.
everywhere we are.
Wow.
Thank you very
That
much.
was so good. A transition for this.
I'm trying, I'm
Was
trying.
so good.
But what is in our Linktree link is our Teespring store, where you can find all of our t-shirts, mugs, and masks. There are multiple colors and patterns that you could choose from. So instead of just keeping it to yourself, you could share them amongst your friends. And speaking of sharing it amongst our friends, Masters of the Universe, the reboot on Netflix, does just that. So the modern remake, not to be confused re with Revelation, which was a far more adult continuation of the 1980s Filmation series. He-Man and Masters of the Universe is a computer animated retelling and reimagining of the 1983 series, and introduces us to a new team of the Masters of the Universe, as well as a new team of the Masters of Evil. Or the Dark Masters of the Universe, I think they were referred to. 10 episodes in total, in the first series, all dropped on Netflix at the same time. And we have watched them all. T, how did you find He-Man and the Masters of the Universe?
So I recommended this last week, so any listeners from last week will not be surprised to say I really to hear that I really liked it. So I watched it with my daughter, my 6-year-old. She was, oh no, she had just turned 6. We managed to binge it as a birthday treat for her. Definitely, that's why we did that.
Parenting done well.
May have stayed up past bedtime because, you know, her birthday. Anyway, no, she really got into it. It's interesting, actually. It started off very much for both of us as a Teela show rather than
Yes.
He-Man, and that worked great. And it ooh, there's this thing in the first Transformers Michael Bay movie where you've got Megan Fox's character, and that's the character in the film that goes through a real story arc, right? That's the character that is really, you know, actually has agency, he actually does things, joins Bumblebee and fights the bad guys, and she fixes cars, and then she's got this kind of arc of, oh, I used to be, well, my dad's a criminal, and then eventually that kind of redemption arc and all that stuff happens. But then there's also Shia LaBeouf, and basically, whilst the story treats Megan Fox's character as the main character, sort of the direction, the camera, that kind of stuff treats Shia LaBeouf as the main character. And you know, it's awful because his character is not interesting. There's no arc, there's nothing that happens with him. It's he's just kind of bumbling through. He's a really uninteresting character. But you know, studio decisions and boys sold, you know, toys of boys and all that kind of bollocks. That's what happened with that film. And it I almost felt a bit of that with this at the start because it was like, oh, this is Teela's story is really, really interesting. She starts off as a thief and then she's learning, she's hearing the voice and then she's getting into grade school and she's going to be, that's a really interesting story. And then you have this parallel story of Prince Adam and his story's building. And I was kind of, I guess I compare everything to Transformers, I guess. But anyway, I was sort of there thinking, oh, God, are they just going to do kind of some forced pushover? But they didn't, I felt like you had these two parallel arcs. So whilst it is called He-Man and the intro sequence has Adam raising the sword to start with and all that kind of stuff, as you watch it, it's really about them both. And we finished watching it and we wanted and when she wanted to play Master of the Universe, you know, immediately she wanted to be Teela and she wanted me to be Man at Arms. Because that's the character she felt was the most interesting for me to play, and we didn't even play as He-Man in the show. But yeah, it, you know, lots. I liked it. I liked the world building. I liked the character redesigns. I liked the story. It was really fun. I'm really looking forward to the next season. I'm in.
So I mean, it's very interesting because it in a lot of ways I feel does a lot of what Revelation got chastised for,
mm.
But has kind of done it probably safer and easier than
yes.
Revelations did it. Revelations, you know, took some very, very big swings.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on my mood, I can argue whether they hit or miss, I think.
Mm-hmm.
This is safer in its storytelling, but is still, you know, quite big in the sense of, you know, it's no longer just He-Man who gets to create and you know, become this you know, champion of Grayskull. In fact, they all do through their own weapons and their own transformations. The team become superpowered. You know, it is the masters of the universe rather than just He-Man. And you know, so Teela being able to become the sorceress and Man-at-Arms becoming superpowered, and even Cringer, you know, mm-hmm. choosing to turn into Battle Cat, was very interesting for me. It took me a while to realise that Crass was Ram Mam.
Yeah, that was such a stretch.
And they've gender swapped yeah. Ram Man, and yeah. part of that's because, for the life of me, I couldn't think why you'd pick anything to do with that character.
Yeah.
But yes, you know, it's you know, another one that they've brought in and kind of, you know, swapped in and all the rest of it, which is, you know, it's fine. It didn't, you know, did it need to be a gender swap character, or could they have created a new character? You could kind of argue both ways.
Mm-hmm.
I preferred who she was when she wasn't Ram Mam. Mm. So, you know, the fact that you find out about her that she is, you know, so Adam at the beginning isn't Prince Adam. He's mm-hmm. kind of this orphan that's been taken in by the Tiger Tribe. Crass is also, you know, an orphan that's been taken in by the Tiger Tribe. Her backstory is a tragic one about, you know, parents dying and her being locked in a spaceship and therefore having, you know, claustrophobia and various other things, mm-hmm. you know, which is more interesting to me. And that choice between, you know, I can stay here and I can fight at the Castle Grayskull and I can do all of this, but actually, you know, who's going to protect the tribe and who's going to look after the people who looked after me and, you know, torn loyalties, whereas no one else kind of had that issue. And then there's a point later on where they realize that they don't need He-Man to transform for them to transform. They are completely yeah. independent. Yeah. And I think there was an empowering kind of thing there in the sense of it isn't yeah. just, you know, when he says so, you can have your powers.
It's not him sharing them with me whenever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, you know, interesting as well. And then that's kind of echoed with the descent of Skeletor,
mm-hmm.
Or Keldor into Skeletor. So this in this one, the canon is that, you know, he is Adam's uncle, Randor's brother, who decides to do a power grab.
They went very Hamlet with the whole thing, didn't they?
Yes. And
or very like
he King. Got to choose his sigil, and he could either choose the sword or the staff. He chose the staff, and it ended up that kind of, you know, embracing the power of Havoc, which just so happens to be also in Grayskull. But yeah, but you know, he then, you know, soups up and empowers his baddies. But that's a very different setup in the sense of, you know, his thing is, instead of, you know, we have the power, his thing is the power is mine.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very much about, you know, being chained to his whim as to whether they are powered or not, etc. So, you know, friendship is the winner. But
I gotta just say, at that point, I fucking love Skeletor. he's just so like self-aware, and who was it? The animal guy, God, forgot his name, Beastman. He goes, "Oh, you've got a whole thing. I love it. Let's do it." He's just so having fun
He
being Skeletor.
very quickly became the character for the grown-ups, I think,
Yes.
because he was, very hammy, over the top. I'm a guy with a skeleton for a face, so how can I really be taken that seriously? And they kind of played with that all the way through, even like the kids kind of, pointing out that, but you're not really a skeleton, are you? I mean, at best, you're kind of Skull-tor. But yeah, I mean, I think that was kind of, he did kind of, really kind of just eat into that as a character build, I think. But yeah, it was an interesting take. I don't know. I after the first couple of episodes, I was pretty sure I hated it, and I mellowed on it pretty strong. And part of that is because I think it takes 3 episodes out of nine to, or is it 4 episodes out of nine to actually get to the point of, and here's your heroes.
You know where
Which,
I went the other way with that, where I thought, oh, I was really annoyed that the intro sequence had them in their costumes. Because I wanted to discover it, and I get it. It's not for me. It's for kids, and that's fine. And you want to hook them with the first episode. I get all of that. But I would love to have had that journey without knowing that, hey, they're all going to get these powers, and they're all going to have these cool costumes, and they're all going to look this way. I would love to have seen that come through, because it was told in that way. It was revealed, and that revelation obviously spoiled by the very catchy intro sequence.
Yeah, and again, a very different kind of setup, because it's all very it's the Netflix model, so they don't bother with any of that, because probably going to watch that in an hour's time anyway.
Well, I don't know if that's true with kids. Well, I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know if they've got a different model for the kid shows. Certainly, one of the
I
things I
don't
like
know.
about Disney Plus in its kids mode, it doesn't autoplay episodes. But yeah, Netflix still does, even on the kids channel. So yeah, it's very
However, one
interesting.
of the things that I dislike about Disney Plus is they don't autoplay, which means it's like, this one stopped. Oh God, I thought I'd got more respite than the, especially when they're on the quick series, like the 10-minute episodes or something. It's like, oh,
Yes,
please
that's annoying.
just put some together. We can do with more Rocketeer. Have you watched The Rocketeer yet?
No.
The Rocketeer is one you might enjoy, because again, it's an homage to the film, but it's done in a very kid-friendly way. My 6-year-old girl is a big fan of The Rocketeer.
Excellent. Okay, Rocketeer, that's on the list.
Not
And
my
that's just
recommendation of the week, by the way.
I obviously don't follow your recommendations. No, I'm just being nice. Rocketeer's on Disney.
Tis.
Excellent.
But yeah, so when we got and so it kind of was a very quick 10 episodes, but very slow in kind of the build, was I think my issue. And as I said, some of the character design, some of the choices, I was a little bit, I wasn't angry with, because I'm a grown up who doesn't get angry about, things from my childhood changing because the things are still there. But it was kind of like, well, is there a reason for that, or is that just kind of, for the conversation?
So yeah, I wish the build was long. I mean, it's funny because we were just talking in the pre-show about how you're watching Cowboy Bebop now,
Yes.
and how that's got this real lovely paced out slow build of getting the team together. And I think I like that kind of stuff. So actually, I think I would have been quite happy with the final episode being the heroes are there.
I think that's for me, there's a difference between that feels like a nice slow build, whereas this just felt like a delayed build. You know, a halfway point, and finally you've kind of got the, oh, okay, our story can begin now. And it just felt like a lot of filler and a lot of exposition and a lot of conversation about stuff that I probably didn't need in that kind of way.
No, I didn't feel that at all. I liked all of that. As I said, I could have done it with a good few episodes more of that before that. Just part of me kind of switches off when, you know, when the fighting sort of starts, and now he knows to do the, was it the lightning punch, the thunder punch, I can't remember. You know, and Voltron's Giga's magic sword, and the Power Rangers Zoids are all coming together. You know, that's the sort of least interesting part of it, obviously. I like the build and the backstory, but you know, they're doing that still, so there was still a lot of revisiting. It didn't then become baddie of the week. You know, the story still continued to build, and they're being a team, and especially with that one where Teela refused to power up with them. So she's got a short choice. I mean, this is before they realized they could power up individually, but she had a choice to say, no, well, I don't fancy doing this. And interestingly, they didn't then say, oh, we're all slightly more powerful because you've not taken the power. You know, it's not divided amongst us. It's, you know, we all have whatever power we have, which is quite cool.
I mean, it ends on a weird cliffhanger thing.
Yeah, I really thought that was unnecessary because my daughter fucking hated it. Well, she was like, okay, what's next? I said, I'm sorry, it's finished. But why? Because that's not what
How,
she's used to.
yeah. And again, my issue is that we know that this is going to be a long wait until the next one. So that frustrates us slightly.
They didn't need to do
How
that,
did you
I
feel
guess.
about the redesign of Orko?
Fine. Yeah, Robot Orko was fine for me. Again, I mean, you know, we mentioned this when we talked about the revelations. I didn't watch the show as much, so it wasn't as impactful on me. It was more the toys were, I think, a bigger impact on me than the show itself. So I wasn't necessarily that attached to Orko actually being the wizard, and Robot Orko was fine for me.
I mean, character
Orko,
design, I thought it
sorry.
was very cool. Yeah, Ork O. Yeah, no, I thought the character design was pretty cool.
And the magic, him being sort of both magic and mechanical, meant both Man-at-Arms and Teela had kind of a connection to him, and that was sort of.
Yeah, I again, kind of a little bit clumsy to get there, I think. But you know, it was an okay little story, I guess. So yeah, my love isn't as strong as yours. It didn't keep my children's interest in the same sort of way. They've watched the first four or so. It's kind of one that they'll kind of drift back to, I think, rather than anything. Yeah, I think it's worth checking out, especially as I there are things that I loved and things that I really wasn't a fan of with the revelation. And I think as a comparator, I just think it's quite cool to watch just because it kind of builds a different, slightly different kind of feel and taste.
Yeah, I mean, of the recent, I guess, Master of the Universe shows, I think She-Ra is still my top. That's just, you know, just amazing. And I was wondering if actually this would be confusing for her, having watched She-Ra. She didn't, but I think it was, you know, animated completely differently. The stories were told completely
Yes.
differently, whatever. So it was fine. There wasn't any like, oh, who is he, Man or She-Ra, whatever.
Did your daughter kind of pick up that there's a link between the two, or?
No, not at all. I mean, I thought, because at one point she went, Daddy, it's he, man, the same thing, right? What a weird name. I thought she might then jump to sort of She-Ra, but she didn't. And I thought, I'm not going to tell her yet. Let's see if she ever makes this connection.
No. And I guess it
I'm
would be
really.
interesting. It depends on whether Hordak and the Horde come in
Yeah.
later down, I guess, would be the I've seen these.
Well, I've not actually told her that, hey, there's a show that Daddy used to watch 20, 30 years ago, which is also, what, 30 plus years ago, that's also similar. Like, they know that with Transformers, so we watch Rescue Bots Academy and they know, like, Daddy's into it because there's fucking toys everywhere.
Partly because, your office is full of,
Well, yeah,
just so
exactly.
happens to be full of similar robots that transform into stuff.
But no, I've not sort of revealed that yet. I'm sort of looking forward to them sort of learning. Oh my God, this is an old thing rebooted. There was a version that you were into.
It's interesting and like they can always continue to reboot, or if they wish to, they can just release the original version that the director intended to give us the full picture.
Talking Blade Runner again.
And speaking of director cuts, we got two never before seen photos from the air cut released
Oh,
on social media this week.
I was literally gonna hang up if we talk Snyder again. I wouldn't even tell you. I would just unplug and let you just assume I was doing a B pause.
In 42 minutes' time, I would realize that you're no longer on the call. David Ayer continues to try to push for the air cut, trying to build on what Snyder was able to do and leverage. And to do this, he has retweeted two pictures. Well, they appeared on his Instagram story that were never used in the film's production. They didn't make it to the big screen. The first highlighted the new snapshot of Jared Leto's Joker in the Circle of Knives scene, which I hated. A version of the Twisted Hotel Room setting made it to the final cut for a fleeting moment, too long. But there is a new photo teased a longer version of the sequence with a previously unseen image of the Joker holding a gun to his chin. The second image appeared to be a behind-the-scenes photo of the goat-headed priest, a Joker goon who appeared only briefly in the theatrical cut during Joker's raid on Arkham Asylum. As previously confirmed, there's around 10 minutes of additional Joker scenes, including a deleted showdown between the Joker and the Suicide Squad, with also the stunt double for Batman, saying that he'd shot far more scenes that didn't make the original film.
Does David Ayer assume that no one in the world has any clue how films are made? Like, we sort of understand that stuff gets edited and not every. I mean, does he think that every other movie, like every 2 hour movie, literally uses 2 hours worth of film and everything shot makes it to the film and somehow his one did a bit more and he wants to publish those things? Because you're picking up from the cutting room floor and saying, oh my God, here's my vision.
So his thing is that the editing changed the narrative of the story. And after originally defending the film that was released, he has since disavowed it entirely, confirming the studio cut is not my movie. One of the movie's editors, Kevin Hickman, compared the cut to Ridley Scott's war drama Black Hawk Down, but with supervillains.
Because that's what we want to see in our superhero films. Fuck's sake.
again, as usual, Warner Media have been fairly blunt in their earlier in the year, completely stating we won't be developing the David Ayer cut. But he's not alone. in asking for a redo.
Just as long as all those idiots that wanted the Snyder Cut. Oh,
Alan
sorry.
Taylor
Oh, sorry.
has suggested that his Game of Thrones style Thor the Dark World had been changed,
Oh, yeah.
and that he would love to be able to show the film that he had shot.
Did you shoot one where you didn't take the fantastic actor that is Christopher Eccleston, put him behind 10 tons of makeup and CGI, and give him no lines in English?
Maybe. So he said, first of all, I have huge respect for Kevin Feige. You can all the way. He's tell you again. I think he's done something that no one else has ever done before, and nobody thought was possible until he did it. Now everyone's trying to imitate it. For me, the process was not fun. I focused all my attention on making a certain movie, and then in the editing process, decisions were made to change it a lot. It got an empire. He's got an empire he's running, and things have to be changed to fit the other things. My regret was that the movie that got released was changed quite a bit in a way that I couldn't shape, really. I mean, I shot all of the material we would put in the movie, but we set out to make one movie, and then major plot points were reversed in post. It's not ideal. It's not an ideal way to work. He continues to say, I have great fondness for some of the things that went away in my original cut. There was a kind of quality, a wonder to the thing that was beautiful to me. I think it brought into some, I think I was brought in to bring some Games of Thrones-ness into it, because he was previously a director for Game of Thrones, in reaction to the first Thor, which was a little too shiny, was my feeling. And then partway through, they started to realize that they wanted to be in a different direction. So it was kind of a stumbling process. I was cheering for for Snyder when he was doing that and thinking, will he pull this off? This is amazing. I think every director was kind of rooting for that. I would love to. I mean, can you imagine it? They gave him, they give me however many millions of dollars they gave him back. They gave him to go back in. I don't think it's going to, I'm going to get to that phone call.
I mean, like one of the things, for example, was he wanted to kill Loki, and very last minute they said, no, everyone fucking loves Loki. We're gonna reverse it. And at the end, suddenly he's back alive. So I don't think anyone who's enjoyed Thor Ragnarok or the Loki TV series or all of the stuff that we get to see with Tom Hiddleston is gonna complain that, hey, why the fuck did you make Loki? Well, why is Loki still around? There's stuff like that. I mean, ultimately, yeah, it was one of the worst Marvel movies, but it did the job of propping up the MCU. So that bit is fine. And if you're saying because I had to prop up the MCU, my movie was shit. Well, fine, man, I'll take that because you know what? I got Endgame out of that. If if your issue is I had to make my movie different so it would fit into this larger story that Feige was building, then Feige was right because the larger story is better. And if you've got some magical Game of Thrones Thor story you want to tell, tell it in a different medium because that's clearly not the MCU film. And wacky directors like James Gunn and Taika Waititi are making really fantastic films within the MCU. And I mean, I've moaned before about the kind of homogeneity of the MCU film and stuff like that. But, and I think that period was a difficult period anyway. So Iron Man's 2 and 3, Thor 2, they're all weird. They all had a lot of these, like, forced in Joss Whedon lines popping up all over the place. So real kind of random shoehorned in jokes that just didn't sit with everything else. There's a lot of like all that stuff to figure itself out. But you went from like Ken Branagh's big Shakespearean Thor to this nothing, and You want to make it Game of Thronesy? I don't, you know, so what? I don't think that's any better. Watiti's Amazing Ragnarok. So I'm sorry, I just don't feel like there's something that's going to match either of those two films in here.
No, and I think that's the issue, isn't it? I understand trying to course correct from Thor, to some degree, but you know, I don't think darker is the way to go, even in the film called The Dark World, because that's not what Marvel is. You know, as much as I and we loved the majority of Game of Thrones,
I mean, B
I
loved all
don't
of it.
all absolutely
I
every
mean,
single thing.
I think he said it got better as it went on, because the early, what, 6 or 7 seasons he wasn't that big a fan of, but you know,
Yeah, I mean,
overall.
I have seen him in a Hunaris t-shirt. Yeah, I mean, you know, I loved the Battle of the Bastards. I don't want that in a Marvel movie, thanks. So I whilst I kind of see what he's saying, and I think that they were right in regards to we want something different. It does, yeah, I think that looks as if they kind of went one way and then kind of reversed it the other way. So actually, we don't want it gritty, we want it humorous.
It's a
And
really weird thing, I mean, the whole concept behind what you're trying to say, because what are you saying? If you're saying I've got a real Batman story I want to tell and I can't tell it because they've built this big, you know, sprawling DC universe, then tell it with a different hero. Do you know what I mean? Then
yeah.
that's what like Mark Miller does. I'm going to tell a what Batman's a bastard kind of story. If you're making an MCU film with those MCU characters, with Thor and Loki and Odin, and Jane Foster and whatever, those are the toys to play with. You know, that's what
Yeah,
you're
but I mean,
wanting.
they, I mean, I guess the problem is in the comic sphere, people have been able to do some very, very dark things with those characters. You know, Jane Foster has the power of Thor whilst dying of cancer. You know, over and over again, you know, we've seen, you know, Thor's lost an arm and an eye and various, you know, and one of the more recent stories, the with the return of Dr. Donald Blake. Prey, I think it's called, I think the arc's called, was brilliant, just in its absolute darkness. And you know, just incredible how they told the story there. But that's not what the MCU is trying to build. And it's funny how the people who come out and say, yeah, not my film, are the ones of the films that haven't done overly well. I'd be far more interested in Taika Waititi saying, I love Ragnarok, but do you know what? My cut, I think, was even better. Rather than, yeah, guys, it's not my fault.
So an interesting one would
I
be
didn't want to do that.
like Gareth Edwards with Rogue One, right? So famously loads of reshoots, big changes from what he wanted to do, but ended up with a really amazing product. Now, I mean, it's still Disney. We've not really heard Gareth Edwards now coming out and saying they fucked up what I wanted to do. My secret vision was amazing. That's the behind the scenes conversation I'd want to hear.
And that's the thing. It's kind of, you know, there's a bias built in, isn't there? I guess my other issue on this is we know from a lot of conversations, a lot of the making ofs, a lot of the stuff that's out on Twitter at the moment, and you know, potentially some of the leaks that have come out over the last couple of weeks. The Marvel model is you do the script and then it's all basically directed in previs, and then they go and work out the shots they need to take. Now, it could be that this is a model that has adapted over time. So when he's doing the Dark World, it wasn't quite that meticulous. But, you know, one of the reasons they cut down on so much of this, other than when they hit like a rich vein or want to go a different way, is because they've kind of worked out their beats and their shots and everything before they've got on set. So this whole kind of like, you know, there was an entirely different story that I was trying to tell and it didn't go that way. Which has got to be Loki dying and staying dead. Just you know, I don't quite see it being that. There is nothing that we have heard from any other director that the Marvel model is empowering in that way. So why Alan Taylor would be the one given free rein on it, I'm not overly sure. So out of the two, what would you be more, if you had to pick one? B's booked the tickets because he's excited. It's either the air cut or the Taylor cut.
I'm going haircut. Thor 2 was boring. I feel like it will still be boring and ultimately really meaningless. I feel, you know, all right, look, he's dead now, whatever.
Hey, the ether turned into one of the Infinity Gems. I had to go and suck it back out of the girlfriend in.
Suicide Squad was a right mess of a film. It's all over the place. It's not a good film, but I really don't mind watching like clips of it.
Yes.
Maybe it's just because I really like the trailer, that Bohemian Rhapsody trailer.
It's a perfect GIF or trailer film.
So there's lots of really good or really fun. No, good's probably a stretch. There's lots of really, really fun bits and really fun scenes and really fun clips and really fun lines and stuff like that. And if you're saying, you know, with a bit more skill, I could take all of those bits and all the bits I've not shown and make it slightly more cohesive. Great, that's, you know, fine. That's interesting. You know, if you're not going to end with dancing. Was she alien goddess? I can't remember. And blue light in the sky and all that kind of stuff. You know, right? If you're going to give Waller some explanation of why she did that plan, which makes no sense whatsoever, right? I don't think we'd get any of that. But it would be interesting to see so late in the day if a director, you know, someone who's made their film and then gone and watched the pitch meeting and honest trailers of it. And then went and fixed it. That sort of would be quite interesting.
I have a similar kind of logic on a lot of it. I think that as problematic as the Dark World was, I think Endgame helped redeem a lot of it. And I do think that you need the Dark World to get to Ragnarok, tonally. And I do think that anything that would be lifting the Dark World wouldn't be about making it more gritty, more dark, more violent, more whatever else. So the film that's being pitched feels further away than what I want. But it feels more like the Snyder Cut in the sense, you know, justice is grey and,
You're definitely
you
getting
know,
more interaction there.
everyone's tortured and tormented and, you know, let's cut out the laughs and whatever else. Suicide Squad, I would be interested to see. I mean, you know, my dislike, and it's not changed through the Snyder Cut. My dislike for the film, a lot of it is kind of three big tent poles, which is A, the Joker. I don't get the Jared Leto casting. He's not, I don't like his take on the Joker. B, and you know, a longer scene with things like, you know, where he's meticulously laid out every single knife in the room before lying in the middle of it in a Jesus Christ-like pose isn't that I like from the Joker. It's meticulously planned out, which is a very, very different character for me personally. B, the nameless faceless, thinking back about, you know, some of those great scenes. If I think, for instance, about the Harley Quinn elevator fight scene, it's a great scene made worse by the fact that they're all just kind of, you know, faceless blob alien monster things. But there we go. And
it's
then
really
the
weird
is...
because that's a thing you do for like kids movies, right?
Yeah.
So the Avengers, they fight robots and they fight alien faceless aliens and stuff like that because you don't want to see Captain America stabbing a human through the heart with his shield or whatever. But Suicide Squad was going for like this darker, grittier thing. You didn't need to do that at all. It's really weird.
No, well, they seemed to want the... My God, they're the soldiers. Kind of realization, but I don't know why you need... I don't think it was a payoff for the two, you had to kind of live through for it. And then, you know, speaking of the payoff, the third issue with it is the big CG monster fights the big CG monster.
Yeah.
And it turns out the big CG monster wins. So, yeah, I'd be interested to see what happens with that. But I'm not clamoring for either. I wasn't clamoring for the Snyder Cut, to be honest. And you know, 6.5 hours later, I'm still fairly... And even then, you know, it doesn't stop, does it? Because, well, yes, but, you know, in the next film, you've already had 12 hours to tell a story. It's the Martian Manhunter, but my original, it was the Green Lantern.
It's such a weird thing, right? Any art is limited by the sort of the limits of the medium.
Yes.
You know, I want to tell... Invincible is a really good example, actually, where he had to do the revelation of Omni-Man way too early than he planned, because actually he just... I forget which other writer, but someone told him that you will not get to issue 50 if you don't reveal this sooner, because people will lose interest. So he revealed it in issue 12 instead of 50 or whatever. And that was fine, because that's how he got that story told. You know, if you want, and it's comics are 22 pages and they're X amount of panels. Movies are roughly 2 hours long. Novels are, you know, whatever, 300 pages long. You do have to work within that. And the skill isn't, hey, do you have this really cool concept somewhere at the back of your head? It's, can you tell that story well within that medium? And if you can't, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the third four-hour movie, you know, in hour 12 of this, what you're pitching for me is a TV show, not a movie.
It's like talking to kids with their fan fiction or whatever. You know, it's like, oh, and then I have this other idea, and then I've got this other idea, and I've got this other idea. Anyway, give me billions of dollars to make it. Like, insane. No, just, what are we talking about? We don't need to see these things on screen. And it's a superhero thing. Like, yeah, okay, you're doing the comic now, and you could have just written the book or whatever. It's weird that we needed to see that on screen.
Yeah. It is. But, you know, there's support for these things.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure we will...
Solid.
We will have a release the Taylor Cut movement.
Cannot wait.
And there will be lots of people asking, you know, what if we got to see such movies?
Excellent.
And, you know, Chris Hemsworth as Thor, and what if we are where we are going to go next. To discuss this week's offering. However, before we do that, just in case you've not caught it up, we are going to give you the recommendation. So if you are remaining spoiler-free, then you can check out at this point here and come back and listen to us when you've seen it. So T, what would you like to recommend this week?
I am going to follow up my recommendation from over a year ago now. God, we've done this podcast for a long time. Of Why the Last Man, the comic book, with the Why the Last Man show, which is available on Disney Plus through Star. So they dropped the first three episodes. Now, unfortunately, I've only watched one episode, so it might be a bit early to make the recommendation, but I really enjoyed it, and therefore I want to recommend it. It was an interesting one. I watched it with my wife, and she's not read the comics, and I had a choice to sort of tell her, hey, here's what we're watching. Here's a guy, and you know, he ends up being the last man on Earth, him and his monkey, and that's this big disaster, and we follow his adventure. Or I could just say, just trust me, let's just watch it, see if you're into it. So that's what I did, and she could see at the very beginning there's some kind of disaster, and then there was a whole hour of build-up of different characters, and you're starting to see that they're interconnected. One character is another character's mom, and another one's that character's sister, and this and that. And there's clearly some connection between all of these people. And then one bodyguards the other one. And then right at the end of the first episode, you see the disaster happen, and then you start to clock on, oh, it's just the men that have died. So for me, having read the and loved the comic, and knowing where this is going, I was excited. I was excited to see what's happening with each of these characters, and I could see. And I mean, I think they changed the characters and things like that, and that's fine because you still could see the connection. Then you could see, okay, you need to make them have more connection with each other, and that's great. And yeah, I was really excited to see how it all played out, and you know, how they all progressed through this. Whereas she went, nah. What is this? Okay, just ages of build up, and then there's some kind of disaster, and no. And therefore has zero interest in watching the second episode with me, which means I'll probably get to watch them really quickly, actually, and I can just binge the next two without having to wait for her. So probably good news for me. So my point is, if you are going to recommend, if you're going to sit down to watch it with someone who's new to this concept, and you'd like them to watch it with you, probably tell them a little bit about it first, or at least make sure you get to watch more than one episode. But just having seen the first episode, really liked it. I think a lot of promise for the rest of it. I really like the tone of it. I really like the casting. I didn't recognize many of the actors, which is fine, because actually, you know, they'll just build the characters they go through. I was worried at the very beginning that it was going to feel very, very Walking Dead. And at least in this pilot, it didn't. So Why the Last Man, the show, as I say, first three episodes, and then I think we've got a weekly drop. And doing the first three episodes, I think it's a nice model because it sort of gets you into it. When each episode is an hour long, I think that's probably quite a lot to expect people. So if the sort of filmmakers are thinking, right, you need the first three to really get into it, like they did with WandaVision, then you can't make hour-long episodes, I think. I don't think it's fair to say, watch 3 hours, and then if you like it, you'll stay with us. Because that's a lot. But for me, 1 hour is enough. I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listeners of this podcast, avid listeners of this podcast, will know that the fact that your wife is not watching it with you probably actually slows down you watching
that's true
series, because true. It's now left for you to find the time to watch it, yeah, rather than what your wife asking you to sit. So we will see, we will judge as we go through, but yeah, I really, I've not read the comic and I've not seen the show yet, so I'm looking forward to starting to see.
Interesting, actually, if you do watch it without reading the comic, because we can sort of compare perspectives on that as we go through.
My recommendation is also a continuation of a previous one. All the way back in July last year recommended Sandman on Audible, and this week I'm recommending Sandman Part 2 that has just been released. So this covers Act 2, sorry, covers we'll cover Seasons of Mist, Game of You, Distant Mirrors, and Convergence from Fables and Reflections. So starts with Seasons of Mist, which is
Volume 3.
Volume 4, Lucifer,
Oh, sorry, Volume 4, you're right. Fourth just
Morpheus
ended.
going to hell,
Yeah.
basically, to re-engage with Lucifer, and is the Lucifer who becomes the Lucifer in the Netflix series, which was B's recommendation last week. So, how does he become from the, or they become from the King of Hell to a nightclub owner? This tells you how that works. The cast is ridiculous, as you would expect. Jeffrey Wright continues his Watcher-esque conversations, his destiny in this, the gravitas of him still working through, as you would imagine. John Lithgow's Emperor Joshua Norton. David Tennant is Loki. Bill Nye is Odin. Kevin Smith gets a little role there as Merv Pumpkinhead.
It's quite a cast, eh?
Joanna Lumley is Lady Joanna Constantine,
Hmm.
Constantine. Arthur Darvill is back as William Shakespeare. And then, the cast return from Act One. So James McAvoy as Dream, Kat Dennings is brilliant as Death, Michael Sheen as Lucifer, and Andy Serkis as the Matthew the Raven. The production of this is sublime. Neil Gaiman narrates, and it has all of the grandiosity of Act One. Just brilliant, just absolutely brilliant. It gets me so excited. I went back and read Seasons as Mist alongside listening to it, because the descriptions are so stark of the characters, especially some of the demons, that I wanted to kind of go back and see how it mirrored and modeled the art that was in the original story. And it just gets me so excited for the Netflix series that we are expecting sometime soon. Available on Audible. I haven't finished it yet because it's 10 hours worth of content. If you have a free credit knocking around, it's definitely one to check out and roll on part three as well.
And if you've not yet listened to the first one, that's actually available as part of the Audible Plus library for free. So if you've just got the Audible subscription, you can listen to it for free.
Absolutely brilliant. So let us move on and discuss what if Thor was an only child? We're into episode 7 of 9 of What If, and
Seven of
this
nine.
week it was this week it was What if Thor was an only child? And the premise being that without Loki, he becomes party bro, and then turns up on Earth to have a crazy party.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Summed up really well. I didn't love the title because that got too tight because that makes you think, oh, but does this really lead to that or whatever? Because really, like I quite like the title of the last one where it's just what if zombies, because we just want to show some zombies. And here we just want to show some Thor partying. That's kind of all we want to do here. So it was a fun episode. It was, what did Jude say? It was silly. I agree. It was really silly. It was nothing really of significance happened. It was just a random fun episode. And I think I had fun with it. I really liked Loki turning up actually in his frost giant gear. That bit actually felt weirdly tragic because, he's obviously, the Loki we now know has had a much more complex and harder life, and Frost Giant Loki just seemed way, way happier. And he just thought, oh, fucking Odin, man, ruined both their lives. I really enjoyed, I think, in particular, the scene at the end with Thor tidying up and, straightening up the Leaning Tower of Pizza like Superman 4. I thought it was very funny. I thought, so it's interesting to see S.H.I.E.L.D. and knowing S.H.I.E.L.D. is Hydra. During that point, that stuff was a bit all over the place, but it's nice to see Maria Hill get a bit more time and actually get to be acting Captain Commander of S.H.I.E.L.D. Although they were a bit quick to want to nuke things, I thought. But yeah, overall, just I know I'm umming and ahhing a lot because I feel like I watch these way too far in advance. And so
Well,
far, none of them have really made me want to watch them again.
with us watching them on the, when they launch on the Wednesday, and then talking about them on the Tuesday, there's a lag, and they feel a little bit kind of, there's been a few that, without a statement on their quality, because that's not actually what it was. There's been conversations of us kind of going, which one was it? Just because it's been a minute. So yeah, I think that's and it doesn't quite have that kind of lasting effect as a series that something like WandaVision or Loki had. So I think that's one of the things that we have battled with throughout this. I think Silly's right. I think it's I quite liked this one. I quite liked most of this one. I quite liked 95% of this one. Because it was dumb and it was silly and it was comedic and it was people mucking around. Which is kind of what I wanted, which is everything I needed from it, really. I mean, I enjoyed the Captain Marvel stuff.
I forgot about that actually. It's really good.
And that's kind of something of it. It's a huge plot point and not actually important in any way, shape, or form. But was quite good at kind of putting her up as a powerful adversary, one who could, potentially even beat Thor. So no, I thought that was quite fun. The only bit I didn't really like, and I reserve the right to change my mind on this, depending on tomorrow's episode, because it looks like tomorrow's episode is kind of a continuation. Was the they all live happily ever after? Oh no, they don't. I don't know if Infinity Gem, Ultron slash Vision needed to be introduced then.
Yeah,
But
I think I agree with you. It felt like weird and tacked on, and I'm almost at the point at these where I just feel like they'll end whenever. They'll end middle of the story, they'll end way too late. What, I get that you want to do something at the end and sort of pull these characters back together and stuff like that. Yeah, this one, it felt like you were trying to give it some gravitas at the end there. Here's a fun story, but also it matters because, and this is why we will. This is our reason to revisit this world rather than just say, hey, look, isn't it so much better?
And that's the weirdness to it, isn't it? And it is just that kind of like, as I said, I reserve the right to change my mind depending on how tomorrow's episode kind of sets up and whether it needed that. But it was a shot for the sake of it rather than anything additional. A cool concept, cool character design. Yeah, and you know that there's so many kind of big chunks that are let go. So because Thor and Loki aren't brothers, Captain America and Iron Man don't exist in this world. For little or no reason. However, Ultron does, even though Captain America and Iron Man and Bruce Banner seem to not. And not only does he exist, but he's galactic to the point where he's collected all the Infinity Gems. And he's created Vision, even though Vision in our main MCU needed the power of Thor to, well, needed the Black Panther because he needed the vibranium, and also needed the power of Thor to bring him to life. But none of that has happened. So it's a
Sorry,
bit
go
fast and loose.
on. I feel like they all have been.
Yes.
And yeah, maybe on the rewatch when you just sort of, and I feel like they're moving more into being more open about it because it's, hey, we just want to do a mirror, but a parallel verse story. We don't want to get too caught up in the details. So when it's just like, hey, what if zombies and what if Party Thor? Fine, great, that's okay for me. I don't need to know this one thing caused this chain and butterfly into this thing and whatever. It seems to be wanting to push us that way, and don't ask too many questions and enjoy the ride. I think I'm more able to do that with episodes like this, which are really fun and light-hearted. I think, like the Star Lord Black Panther episode, I wasn't there really trying to work out why Nebula could be that character and Thanos would have worked out and how these people, I just enjoyed seeing them in those contexts, if you know what I mean. And especially with this one, with as many cameos as you had. Why is Drax part of the party group? I just enjoyed seeing you as part of it. It was fun. That's good enough for me. So sometimes that works because the tone of it says that, sometimes it doesn't. And maybe that's the issue with the sort of inconsistent tone of this show, in total anyway. Sometimes you think about it too much and sometimes you don't. I think possibly, and this is me as a Trekkie who then like and who likes to try and line up how this lines up with that show and this prequel and then that timeline and all that stuff. I think this show is more enjoyed if you, I think, switch that part of your brain off.
I agree. I agree. I think this is one not for critical thought. And that's where it works best is where you don't try to rationalize it or play it through too much. And that again was for me part of the strength of this was the brainlessness of this episode. And it's funny because that seems to have split the audience, as all of these seem to, in that whole kind of, either what a waste of time, as at Jude C55 said, brainless, silly, or whether it's kind of like, oh, no, it was fine. It was a little adventure. It was a little distraction. Really is an interesting series. It's not. I don't know if anyone's been completely taken with the whole series.
Well, I mean, I can't imagine anyone like the murder mystery episode. Or maybe I think that, and I can't imagine anyone disliked the T'Challa episode. There's been real highs and real meh moments.
And that's the that's the wave that we're riding for another couple of weeks. Will be very interesting to see how this resolves. The teaser is that, you know, the Watcher will have to make some decisions, which is interesting. But yeah, in theory, we've got about 50 minutes worth of content left to see.
Yeah, I mean, I do appreciate having shows to watch, I guess.
Yes.
in this group. I think what the thing I think that's coming from me with all of this is, will we see Jeffrey Wright playing the Watcher in an MCU film or show at the end of this? Mm. Or is this series just going to be some side thing that's forever forgotten and just, you know, just a thing?
Well, I mean, Forever Forgotten is going to be interesting because they've already greenlit Series 2.
Mm-hmm.
But it's whether it remains its own little pocket,
yeah,
you know, self-referential thing, or whether it does kind of expand out in the world where you have, you know, Eternals and cosmic deities and various other things. You know, we in theory, we've already had the Watchers, so...
So Marvel's done this a few times now, right? So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was part of, and then sort of wasn't, and never really had, yep, an impact on the films. The Netflix shows definitely started as part of, and now,
yep,
are not at all.
Yep.
You know, obviously we are definitely getting the feeling that the Marvel shows on Disney Plus are part of, because it's the same actors and stuff like that. But I wouldn't be massively shocked if the eventual thing is What If doesn't count. The animated, yeah, shows don't count.
Yeah. Runaways doesn't. Cloak and Dagger hasn't.
Runaways, Humans, I don't think ever was part of. Nor was Cloak and Dagger. So I don't think those were ever MCU, were they?
No. They never had, I don't think Inhumans was either.
Inhumans is interesting. Because it was announced. Inhumans was announced as a... Feige announced Inhumans. Then you start to see them in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And then there was this... Was it a movie they turned into a show? Was that how it worked?
Yeah, I mean, it was on the docket for a movie, wasn't it? And then kind of got downgraded.
Yeah. But was it made by Disney?
It was. Well... Yeah. It was far more theirs in an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. style rather than, you know, the Hulu ones or the other ones that went out, like Cloak and Dagger and Runaways and
right. I mean, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was pre Disney Plus, right? So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was an ABC show.
Yes. Yeah. But it was, you know, Feige, MCU.
Right.
Jason. Yeah.
And Whedon, I can't remember, Whedon's brother was a showrunner.
Yeah.
One of the Whedons, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, wouldn't surprise me, but I would love to see Jeffrey Wright's Watcher in one of the films or shows.
Yes, yeah. And as I said, you know, we've had the Watchers visible.
Mm-hmm. Chatting with Stanley.
Yeah, in...
Guardians 2.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2? Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were doing the jumps, weren't they?
Yeah.
So they're in theory there. It's just kind of, you know, building them up now.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall see. We shall see. But Jeffrey Wright, for me, is still kind of, you know, one of the highlights. His delivery, his gravitas, and as I said, you know, a brilliant Destiny.
Yeah. You know,
fairly similar, you know, typecast kind of way, as all-seeing, all-knowing oracles.
I mean, he is the only new character, right? So it's not like there's anyone else. It's all just the existing people redone.
Yeah, I don't think we've introduced anyone yet.
I'd be interested to see things that we are not able to do on the shows, in the films rather, For things like studio financial reasons. That's what would be. So actually, if we are now to lose Peter Parker movies because of the Sony deal and stuff like that, it would be interesting to see that story play out. What was the original plan, and Peter Parker become the head of the next Avengers? And I think we got to see him in that leadership role in the zombie one. But yeah, that would be cool. With Stanley's passing and Chadwick's passing and things like that, is there more that we wanted to do with Black Panther? Where would that story have gone? That stuff would be quite interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean the Spider-Man stuff's interesting because in theory, if they lose the rights, then can they continue or what happens in that sense? Does it have to be someone who looks nothing like Tom Holland for them to tell a Spider-Man story?
Which you can do when you animate it. I don't think Romanoff looked anything like.
Or sounded, yeah.
Yeah, very true. It was
And then Stanley and Chadwick is a conversation about what they want to do posthumously and whether they want to kind of leave alone rather than kind of bring in. I mean Stanley, they seem to have made a decision that's respectfully that's the end. Rather than trying to CG him or anything like that. Which is weird because you could quite comfortably continue to have him turn up on posters and whatever else throughout, but
And there's that whole idea of Stan Lee was potentially a watcher, and if that would ever get explored and stuff like that.
yes, we will have to watch and see. But yes, episode 8 lands in mere hours, and then we are into the final before this closes up, and we wait for the next show to come through.
Is it Hawkeye next?
I think it is.
That'll see us through to Christmas, I guess.
And then I think the Book of Fett is then on.
Excellent. Why are
Rumors
they
that
not keen on that? I'm
I,
sure I'll
I
love it once it
yeah,
starts.
I'm interested to see where it goes, but rumors that Ms. Marvel might be moved up. So that might be next after Hawkeye. So we shall see. We shall see. But yes, let's come back at next week and discuss Galactic Ultron Vision Infinity Gem person, and see whether it needed to be shoehorned into this week's episode, as well as whatever else is going on. So until then, please continue to look after yourself and each other's, and we shall speak to you next week. Bye bye.
Cheerio.